You're listening to the Wednesday Afternoon Show and I'm Laura. This is the second part of our Isle of Wight Save Our NHS interview with the campaign team. What islanders really want to know is what exactly is happening to our NHS on the island? What services will be reduced? When will this happen? Will there be public consultations? And firstly, this all stems from the STP. Now, Christine, can you explain what the STP is?
The creation of the STPs was done by NHS England in 2015. STP actually stands for Sustainability and Transformation Plan. And these demanded that local NHSs and councils provided detailed plans for carrying out the five-year forward view, and this would involve further reductions in hospital public beds. The plan was intent on cutting A&Es from about 144 across England to between 40 and 70, and to developing these super hubs and getting rid of the small local GP practices. The actual target for savings for the entire, you know, for the whole of England was 22 billion over 5 years. This relates back to the 5 year forward use. So they've got 5 years to make these savings. Yeah. It equates to £577 million of savings for Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. And our share of that is £52 million worth of savings. So you have to look at it and say, hang on a minute. If you're making savings like this, how can you improve services? Because that is what we're being fed. We're creating new pathways. We're doing this and we're doing that to improve services. But it isn't true. Yeah. They're being forced by NHS England to make these savings. And even though they're talking about, the government keeps saying they're putting more money into the NHS now, this isn't strictly true. It's coming from other areas. They're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Yeah. It's not new money. And I think Nancy would like to speak a bit about the options.
Yeah, well, and it's important to point out how much they've cut from the NHS over the past 8 years as well. So when they say they've given money to the NHS, they're not even giving back a quarter of what they've already cut from the NHS. You know, so that's not really helping us.
What happened was that the sustainability and transformation plan people had to come up with these savings, and they came up with something ridiculous like 100 options, and eventually they whittled it down to 5.
Right.
And that was presented, the Health and Wellbeing Board looked at it, and eventually it was kind of, well, it was okayed. The option that they chose wasn't the option we were expecting.
Right.
But there were 5 options altogether. The first one was to do nothing. The second one wasn't much better, was it? To cut a long story short, out of the 5 options, they chose option 4,
okay,
which means that 11% of acute services will be moved over to the mainland. But they tell us not all the acute services, just certain elements of acute services.
Right.
You know, I mean, what we're talking about, orthopaedics.
Yeah,
all sorts of different
children that require, yeah, newborn children that can't breathe on their own, basically, in layman's terms, that have to be intubated, will not be able to stay on the island and things like that. And if your birth was going to have any sort of complications, basically, then you wouldn't be able to have your baby on the island.
Okay.
Yeah,
if it was known that you were going to have complications, you know.
Yeah, they say if they were going to be, if it was anticipated they were going to be in hospital for more than 24 hours, they would have to go over to the mainland for the birth.
Gosh.
But yeah, you know, we are continuously dealing with speculation.
Yes.
And we're trying to interpret jargon.
So yes, so it's all kind of terribly vague, the information that's out there.
Yeah, what they actually decided on, as I said, option 4. The only option after that was option 5, which would leave us with 46% of services on the island, which basically is accident and emergency and maternity. Now, the thing is, in the CCG presentation of the acute services redesign, which is only one element of the healthcare on the island, it does actually say that if the savings aren't made as required by NHS England, then the default position is option 5, which means that everything will go over to the mainland if the hospitals over there can cope, because that's the other problem.
Okay, they are starting to actually say now, aren't they, that they're worried. Portsmouth and Southampton are getting worried about the amount of people that are going to have to come over from the Isle of Wight, because they're not coping very well anyway, you know.
No, so they're already under pressure, and so our numbers will increase that. Okay, so for the five-year plan, we've got, 2 years left to go?
Yeah.
And if we don't hit those savings, then option five will happen.
Well, I would hesitate to say will happen.
Okay.
It's the default option.
Right, it's the default.
Which means if they don't achieve what NHS England want. Yeah.
Okay.
It could mean we go to option five and we lose everything except for A&E and maternity. What I would say is that in some ways we're very lucky that we don't have a fixed link, yeah, you know, which a lot of people want, and you can understand reasons why. But if we had that fixed link, we would. I am convinced personally that we would lose our A&E and our maternity services,
yeah,
because we're literally a few miles away.
From.
You know, whereas people on the mainland, where their hospital's being closed, they're having to travel an extra 14, 15 miles to the nearest hospital.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that sense, if you can call us being lucky, so that's it. What I said earlier is that the acute services redesign is only one aspect of the healthcare on the island.
Right.
And to me, it's been used as a bit of a red herring.
Okay.
The CCG have focused on it continually, but in the meantime we've got primary care, and we've got care in the community, and what they're insisting that they want to make people more responsible for their own health,
right,
to participate more in their own health care.
Yeah,
they want to take services out of the hospital into the community, rely on a lot of voluntary work, charity workers, and social enterprise. The problem is that they haven't got the staff. You know, the district nurses are struggling. When you look into the care in the community for, you know, elderly, disabled people, that's struggling.
Yeah.
And they say by 2025 there'll be a national shortage of 300,000 carers.
Yeah.
You know, so how that equates to the island, I don't know. But I do know that Shanklin and Ventnor already have an issue, because they simply haven't got the care workers to provide care to the elderly.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not a one-issue thing.
This is
a lot more, and everything is being done under the radar.
Yeah.
We're not being informed. The CCG actually admitted to their lack of transparency, but since then I haven't seen any more transparency. And this information isn't made easily available. You have to search it out.
Mm.
And if you're not on the internet, you can't do it. You know, you can read an article in the county press from time to time, but you're not going to find out the nitty-gritty of what's really going on.
Okay, and your website, you've got a lot of information on your website, haven't you?
We're trying our best, aren't we, since Nancy came on board.
Yeah.
Nancy's, you're a technology whiz.
Yeah, well, I did a psychology degree. I've got part of a psychology degree. So I'm sort of accustomed to the jargon and report writing, so I can kind of see what they've done and try and pick out the essential bits of information that they've given. And like I say, I've done a write-up of the STP document where I'm trying to put it into plain language exactly what they're intending, what they're proposing. And we have also got an article with the shortlisted options, which are options 1 to 5.
Yeah.
So these are all the options that were available to us. And like we say, they're saying they want to go with option 4. This is what they're pursuing at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, the worst-case scenario, if option 4 fails, is option 5, which will mean we're left with pretty much just A&E and maternity on the island.
What does that actually mean then? So if we're only left, let's go worst case, with A&E and maternity.
Yeah.
So you obviously have to travel across the water to potentially Portsmouth or Southampton hospitals, if they're not too busy, if they've got enough beds. As a patient, would I have to pay for my own transport?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think cancer patients were exempt. Still are exempt, but I know that in the council budget this year, they were proposing to cut off all assistance towards travelling to the mainland. for everybody. But it was so controversial that it's on hold for the time being.
That's another thing, isn't it? The travel in itself, if you're slightly under the weather, that's not a fun journey. But if you are extremely poorly, not only physically but mentally as well, to make that crossing is a huge strain on your body. And then your families as well. You know, your carers are going to be under. And if you have to stay over, the money spent on a stay is, there's so much strain.
Yeah, and there's a knock-on effect, you know, because if, you know, if you've got family, you've got to arrange childcare for the children, there's schooling to take into account. I know one guy who, I mean, the Wessex Cancer Bus from Portsmouth was funded by one of what they call non-recurring costs. So they gave so much money for so many years and then it stopped just like that. Yeah. And the only way that that bus can continue to operate is through donations and people fundraising.
Yeah.
But one guy, usually when you have to go for radiotherapy for prostate cancer, it's a course of 5 weeks, five days a week,
it's tough.
For 5 weeks.
Yes.
This guy, you know, the very fact that they could all go on this cancer bus together gave them a bit of, you know, togetherness and a bit of moral support.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's so tiring. And this guy came back after one of his treatments and he fell asleep at the wheel. He picked up his car in Ryde and he actually fell asleep at the wheel because he was so tired, which is one of the side effects of radiotherapy. And fortunately, he just drove into the pavement and there was no injuries, you know. But that's just an example.
Yeah. Nancy, do you have any local NHS issues that you can share with us?
Well, this week in the county press, they were talking about a doctor surgery in Ryde. The surgery on the Esplanade has gone to phone on the day appointments only, no more pre-bookable appointments. And well, that's only just recently been introduced there, but the Tower House in Ryde were doing that for years, because I was with Tower House in Ryde, and for years you could only ring up in the morning and get an appointment, and the only other option available to you if you couldn't get one, if they'd all been booked for that day, was to do a sit-and-wait appointment where you go down there at 5 o'clock and sit and wait in order of who turned up first to see a doctor, which isn't ideal. So that this isn't something that's a new thing as well. It's just been heard about in the press, but this was happening for years before.
You know, if you live far away from a surgery, when you're really poorly, to have to go into the surgery just to get an appointment.
Yeah, and having to sit around for hours in the waiting room, you know, with people, that are potentially iller than you when you're already in a weakened state, you know, it doesn't bode well, does it?
It's not just Ryde either.
No,
it's affecting surgeries across the island.
Yeah.
And the point is that early diagnosis is so important in the treatment of disease.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can physically get to the surgery and queue at the door, you're the one that's going to get the appointment, not the person on the phone.
Yeah.
And by the time you get through on the phone, there's no appointments left. And if this goes on day in, day out, people get so frustrated and think, I can't be bothered anymore. People are actually giving up the ghost on their own health because it's so stressful to try and see a GP at a time when they're not well, you know. So that's another of the issues on the island, really.
Yeah. What information can we see? What public consultations are happening or more information for us on the island?
Well, originally, they were going to provide roadshows all across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, as with the rest of England. They never happened. People weren't informed. They talked that once the sustainability and transformation plan had been brought into existence, there were supposed to be all sorts of public consultations. But in actual fact, it just about boiled down to stakeholder groups, not general public. And some of those stakeholder groups didn't necessarily reflect the opinion of the public at large and the patients. And one example I could give you is the Patients' Council, where I was told face-to-face that they supported the sustainability and transformation programme. So, you know, in other words, they agreed with the cuts. What I would say is that I think these people have been working really hard. I think a lot of the time that they're working in little bubbles and they're not aware of what's going on beyond them. And I don't think for a minute that a lot of the staff employed by the NHS Trust and even the CCG are properly aware of the impact of these plans on the NHS. And, you know, I read... it's in a film that we're going to talk about later where a politician, can't remember his name, in 2014 did say by 2020 we will not have an NHS left, an NHS as we know it.
Yeah.
It'll be gone.
Yeah.
And we're in the end stage now. We haven't had the opportunity to even look at the plans or understand what they're planning. And it's been put off. It was supposed to be January 2017, and then it was September 2017, and then it was supposed to be spring of this year. It got put off again, and now it's spring of next year.
Yeah.
So it's been put off for almost 2 years. And in spring 2019, if it's been passed by NHS England, that will be the time when the public will be asked for their opinion.
So this is the thing. We've had snippets of information via the media on the island, haven't we?
Yeah.
But it's always retrospective.
Yeah.
And there's never been an invitation for the public to voice their concerns, their issues, and opinions. And I think that's one of the main issues, isn't it?
The fear of this public consultation, though, is that is it going to be a fait accompli because we're told no? What the CCG will do will present various options, as they did before they decided which way to go with the acute services review. They will put forward options with their own recommendations, so there's no difference. So even though they say no, I believe that once they've decided what they're going to do, they're going to do it.
I think the thing is as well, it's so important for everyone at home who has an interest in the NHS and their own health to get informed.
Yeah.
Get the facts. Spend a couple of hours researching when you have a quiet moment. Get online or buy some books. Get on your website and just get up to speed with what's happened, what's happening, because that will really inform us of the future and the plans for St Mary's on the island and obviously all the other issues that we have NHS-wise on the island. Okay, what can we on the island do then?
It's very difficult because, as you know, campaign groups are working so hard across the country, and we would definitely love to have more support within our campaign group, more activists. I mean, we get tired and we get disheartened and sad, you know, so... Yeah, we'd love some more people to come on board. But other than that, if we can at least raise public awareness and get people to actually take part in the public consultation. But when you look back at the poll tax, for example, people saw immediately that that was going to hit in their pockets.
Mm.
With the NHS, it's insidious.
Yeah.
It's been brought on us by stealth.
Yeah.
And people won't know until it's too late.
Yeah.
And if only we could get everybody aware of the truth of what's happening.
Yeah.
And it isn't scaremongering. We have been accused of scaremongering. It isn't. There are facts out there. You can find them if you look for them. And, you know, if the whole population of England suddenly said, no, we're not having this, that would be fantastic.
You have a film screening, don't you, coming up, which will provide information on the whole issue. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that, Nancy?
Again, well, we've got a write-up of this on our website as well, which the link will be provided. Why not? I think I've already read it out once, but I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, isleofwightsafernhs.org.uk. And the film is called Groundswell, The Grassroots Battle for the NHS, and it's by a director called John Furse. And he's going to be coming down for the evening of the screening and will be available for a Q&A. It's going to be at the Key Arts Centre on the 6th, isn't it?
6th of October.
Yeah.
At 6 o'clock. Well, meet at 6 in the bar for the film at 6:30.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is 80 minutes long. But I tell you, I've seen it. Yeah. And you're so absorbed, the 80 minutes just flies by.
Okay.
And we have the trailer on our website as well. And the trailer's available on YouTube. If you know how to search YouTube, just type it in Groundswell and you should find it.
Okay.
What I would say about this film is it's not biased in any way politically. It shows the truth. It's very forthright and candid, and it shows what's happened. Not in great detail, but, you know, the specifics of what have happened since the 1970s and how privatisation and marketisation of the NHS has evolved. Okay. And that the plot has been there. I've got a book called The Plot to Destroy Our NHS, something like that. And it's absolutely frightening.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's been going on for so long. But I would say now we are in the end phase.
Yeah.
And if something isn't done, we're going to lose our NHS as we know it forever.
If we are to protect what Aneurin Bevan put in place 70 years ago, that being equal and accessible healthcare for all, then we all need to make a stand against the NHS being dismantled and sold to the private sector. I'd love to hear what you guys at home think about this. What does the NHS mean to you? And can you see services being cut around you? Do you get a feeling for what's happening to the NHS in terms of it being dismantled and sold on? Or do you completely disagree with what you've just heard? Let me know. Email Laura at studio@vectusradio.fm.